Good morning. Let us start off with prayer, yes? Lord, we give you thanks for this opportunity, Father, to come before you, to receive from you. Father, I just pray that our hearts and our ears be open to receive your word. Help us, Father, not just to be hearers or even knowers of your word, but to put into practice what we have received this whole week. Father, thank you for every teacher, for every speaker that you have used this week to touch our heart and our soul and our mind, to be able to be transformed and renewed by your word. Father, I just pray for this time that we may be able to receive from you. Help us to listen with humility. Help us to receive with humility. And that way we could apply this to our everyday lives. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Number one, I just want to say thank you to many people that have made it possible for myself, my family, and some of our folks from our church to be able to make it here. Thank you for the love and the care and the kindness you have shown, from even the youngest one, who's Andres, I believe, the little one, to myself and my wife. I want you to know that it's a blessing. I first started coming to Warm Beach when I was like, I don't know, 10 years old, I think, 11 years old. And I never, ever thought I was going to be up here. I was always the one kid that was easily influenced to ditch service from time to time. And just, I want you to know that many of you that I've had the opportunity to interact with you since I was young to now, I want you to know that you have really touched and inspired our lives and our ministry to do what we do on a daily basis. I have beautiful memories pulling up on the weekend in Portland, Oregon, right before camp, and having Hans Peter pick me up with his lovely wife and take me to their home. I have beautiful memories of going to George and Jones, Jones Such's home. Many people throughout the AC that have really touched my life in a very impactful way. And I want you to say thank you. Thank you to the new friends, to the new connections, to the new brothers and sisters that I've had the opportunity to meet, and to know that behind what we do, it's thanks to the Lord and that imprint of kindness and love that you guys showed to a Latino family that came from South Central LA. Thank you very much. And so it's an honor for me to be up here. I kid you not, I am freaking out being up here. But let's go into God's word, amen. As we conclude our sermon series on understanding the mystery, living full in Christ, we turn our attention now to the final passage of Paul's letters to the Colossians. And I ask for forgiveness if sometimes I turn on my bilingual tongue. My team is already ready, and they're going to wave me down, and I'll switch back. So please have patience for me. This section is a very powerful reminder of the practical outworking of our faith and how we as community of believers can live fully in Christ. Today, I will do my absolute best to go through Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 18. And I will read to you, if you want to follow along, verses 2 to 4, where we will see throughout this chapter how Paul gives final instructions and greetings, emphasizing the importance of prayer, wisdom in interactions, and interconnectedness of the body of Christ. And from what we see here in these verses, he divided it in three sections. The first section is verses 2 to 4, and it says the following: devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. My dear brothers, here we see the first section of what Paul wants us to really focus on, according to this chapter. The first section is the devotion to prayer. Paul begins this section with exhortation to prayer, emphasizing the importance in a life that prayer has in the life of a believer. One of those key things about prayer, my dear brothers, is the importance of having consistent and persistent prayer life. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, says verse 2. Paul uses the word devote, indicating that prayer should be a priority and a necessity and something that we should do with persistence every day of our lives. This means setting aside regular times for us to pray, making it a non-negotiable aspect of our daily routine. Not praying just for the sake of saying, I pray today, but to pray, to seek the Lord's face, for him to speak, but for us to listen, for us to speak, and for him to answer. It implies also that we need to be watchful. This implies staying spiritually alert and vigilant, and it's a call to be aware of what God is doing around us and to be mindful of the spiritual battles we face. Being watchful in prayer helps us to stay connected to God's will and his purpose. It also shares in verse 2 the importance of being thankful. Maintaining a heart of gratitude is crucial for us believers. We tend to also focus sometimes more on the difficulty, more on the need, more on the bad news than the Lord that we serve. We tend to focus when we are handed something so unexpected to make that our focus of our life. My dear brothers and sisters, I encourage you, no matter what we may be facing, understand that there is great power when we come to the Lord still in thankfulness, because we know that the same God that's been faithful to us yesterday will be faithful to us tomorrow. Maintaining a heart that is grateful is very important. Gratitude also cultivates a positive and trusting attitude towards the Lord that we serve. In verses 3 and 4, we see the style of intercessory prayer. Paul said, and pray for us that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as it should. Here we see Paul requests prayer for open doors to share the gospel. This teaches us the importance of interceding for evangelistic opportunities. We have heard great stories of missionaries that are doing amazing work for the Lord. But I want you to understand and remind you that your first mission field may be your next door neighbor. Your first mission field may be the person that you frequent at the store. Yes, it is important to say, Lord, send us to the nations. But I remind you that in America, the Lord is bringing the nations to you. And that we have an opportunity to intercede. Intercede for the gospel to touch and rescue the lives of everyone around us. It teaches us not just to focus prayer on ourselves, but for others who are spreading the gospel. This week you have heard testimonies of different missionaries you could add to your prayer request list that you may intercede for them, their marriages, their families, their kids, their resources on a daily basis. Also, Paul says the clarity in proclamation. Paul asks for prayer that he may proclaim the mystery of Christ clearly. Paul wanted not only this to be a subject that is just theoretical, but practical. We see the highlights that we need for us to pray for effective communication of the gospel. And it may be the whole point would be for the gospel to be understood and received by those who hear it. And what I love about Paul, that even in the difficult circumstances, he even added that piece of information. Paul is in chains, yet he focuses on the mission rather than his predicament. I ask the question of you today, are you focused more on your predicament than the mission, or the mission rather than the predicament? This challenges us to prioritize the gospel above our own personal comfort and to pray for boldness and clarity in all situations. In other words, let us ask the Lord to make us comfortable with the uncomfortable. In sections, verses 5-6, we see the second section where he asks for us to be wise in conduct. Paul shifts to the conduct of believers, particularly in their interactions with outsiders. In verse 5, we see, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. In other words, we must choose to live wisely under the direction of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our actions should reflect the wisdom of Christ. That means being thoughtful and intentional about how we live our lives, ensuring that our behavior aligns with our faith. In other words, that we practice what we preach. We see also here that there is a testimony through our actions. I want you to understand that one of the key instruments, tools that you could use to evangelize is your testimony. One thing is to know of God, but another thing is to know God face to face. Because when you and I have had a face-to-face interaction with our Lord Jesus Christ, our lives are not the same. You and I have to understand that our behavior can either draw people to Christ or push them away. And sometimes we have the habit of saying, just people are just being cold. Cold to God, cold to the things of God. Yes, that may be true. But I ask the question, have the people of God grown cold to what God really cares for? Souls. Lost souls. Hurting souls. Souls that are not in our circles. Souls that weren't raised with us. Souls that maybe don't even speak the same language of us. But in the eyes of the Lord, they are precious. By living wisely, my dear brothers and sisters, and making good choices, we become living testimonies of Christ's transformation that he has the power to transform in our lives. You want people to come to church? Be the church outside. You may be the first church that somebody visits. I ask the question, what is their experience? Are you drawing them to the Lord? Are you pushing them away? We see how Paul even here speaks in verse 5 about seizing opportunities. We are called to make most of every opportunity to witness. This requires being aware of the moments when we could demonstrate God's love and share the gospel, whether through acts of kindness and words of encouragement or simply being present for someone in need. In verse 6, we see, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Here, Paul encourages us to have grace-filled conversations. Yes, yes, stand for the truth. Yes, may you and I be unwavering to the truth. But we also have a duty before the Lord to have grace-filled conversations. Our words should be characterized by grace, reflecting God's love and mercy. This means speaking in kindness, compassion, and understanding, even in challenging situations. My dear brothers, let us have the grace, let us have the love and the patience to conversate with people that may not look like us, may not think like us, may not even be from the same country as us, but they need to know the good news. Just a quick tidbit. The fact that somebody speaks another language, you yelling in the conversation, doesn't make us understand it even quicker. We're not deaf. We just don't understand. And every good Latino will say, yes, yes. Hey, we have no idea what you're saying. Have patience. Seasoned with salt. We love our foods to be seasoned. I mean, I do. Especially tacos. By the way, there's a good taco joint we found like 30 minutes away from here, like on Monday. I'll give you the address if you need it after service. Here we are encouraged that our conversation, our speech, be seasoned with salt. Salt does two things. Preserves and adds flavor. And I know you know all this stuff, but I'm just here to remind you. Our speech should preserve the truth, but add value to conversations. It should be engaging and thought-provoking, drawing people towards the truth of a gospel. We must always be prepared also to respond. We should be ready to answer the questions about our faith thoughtfully and respectfully. It requires knowing the scriptures and being able to articulate our beliefs clearly and confidently. The final section here in this chapter, verses 17 and 18. Here we see a key point of Paul about the interconnected body of Christ. Paul concludes with personal greetings and mentions several individuals, highlighting the interconnectedness of the Christian community. And again, forgive me if I mispronounce the names, because my Bible's in Spanish, I tend to say the names in Spanish. We see verse 7 to 9, he mentioned Tychicus and, I know I'm not saying this right, Onesimus. I'm not saying that right, am I? No. What is this? Onesimus? Well, I got it close. I'm good. All right. Not bad. Let us look at Tychicus. Described as a dear brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, he is entrusted with delivering Paul's letter and updating the Colossians on Paul's circumstances. Tychicus' role underscores the importance of trustworthy and faithful individuals in ministry. Onesimus, once a runaway slave, now a faithful and beloved brother in Christ, his transformation is a powerful testament to the reconciling and the transforming power of the gospel. Onesimus' story encourages us to see each person through the lens of God's redemptive work. Paul didn't say, hey, here's this guy that ran away. He just said, this is a brother who is doing the work as we are. We also see that he mentions names such as Aristarchus, Mark, and Justus. Justus, I think I'm saying this right. Again, show me grace. These men are mentioned as fellow workers in the kingdom of God who have been a comfort to Paul. Their mention highlights the value of supportive relationships in ministry. Ephesus, commended for his fervent prayers and hard work for the Colossians, exemplifies the dedication and intercession that we should have for our fellow believers. We see the names of Luke and Demas. Luke, the beloved physician, Demas, sent their greetings. This inclusion reflects the diversity of backgrounds and professions within the body of Christ. But they are united by their faith. The final instructions, verses 15 to 18, is the final instructions and blessing. Sharing the letter, Paul instructs the Colossians to read this letter and to share and to read his letter to the church in Laodicea and vice versa. This emphasizes the importance of mutual edification and sharing of God's word among different congregations. And I love Paul's signature and request. He signs off with his own hand, reminding the readers, the hearers of his imprisonment, and requesting their prayers. He ends with a benediction of grace, reinforcing the theme of God's grace, sustaining us all in all circumstances. In conclusion, here are a few things the Lord showed me, practical applications or a call to action. Number one, commit to prayer. Pray for specific individuals. This week, commit to praying for specific individuals and ministries within the church. Ask God to guide them and bless them. Commit to prayer to have evangelistic opportunities. Pray for the opportunities to share the gospel for boldness in those moments. Ask for God to open the doors and give you the words to speak. Call to action number two, act wisely and speak graciously. Reflect Christ in actions. Reflect Christ in actions. Challenge yourself to make the most of every opportunity to reflect Christ in your daily interactions. Be intentional about how you live out your faith. Have gracious speech. Speak words that build up and encourage, avoiding negativity, avoiding criticism, especially if you're criticizing. Especially if you are criticizing day in and day out about something, someone that you do not agree with, but yet you do nothing over the matter. Aim to have conversations that are full of grace and truth. And my dear brothers, this is the final practical application. This call of duty, this call of action. Engage with your church community and your local community. Connect with others. There is no one of the most painful things I've had the opportunities to encounter, thank God not in my own church, but in different churches that we work with there locally, where there's a body that is divided. They do worship service together. They sing together. They hear the word together. But the hearts are divided between each other. Let us be intentional about having genuine connection. Reach out to someone new in your church only because you haven't been or they haven't been around you for so many years. Shouldn't mean that we shouldn't be intentional with the guests that visit us. Or if it's someone that you haven't connected with in a while, build relationships that foster a sense of community. Serve in ministry. Instead of complaining, instead of judging, instead of saying you would do it better, then step up and do it. Find ways to serve within the church, using your gifts and talents to support the body of Christ. Not everyone has the same talent, but every talent is needed in the body of Christ. Whether it's from teaching, whether it's being hospitable, or another area, your involvement matters. This idea that somebody else could do it. Yes, it's true. But if the Lord puts it in front of you, that opportunity, why not step up and say, here I am. I am here to help. In conclusion, as we wrap up the series of Colossians, Paul's final words remind us that living fully in Christ involves a vibrant prayer life, wise and gracious conduct, and a deep sense of community within the body of Christ and outside of the four walls of the church. These principles are not just theoretical, but practical, affecting how we live daily. Imagine for a second a church where every member is devoted to prayer, constantly lifting up one another and seeking God's guidance. Imagine a church, instead of criticizing leadership, pray for them. A church that instead of cultivating more division, you find out that you have no time for those things because you're too busy praying and interceding for others. Imagine a church community where every interaction, whether with believers or outsiders, whether people from your country, from your state, or from others, imagine that those interactions are marked with wisdom, grace, and the love of Christ. Envision a body of believers so interconnected and supportive that each person feels valued and empowered to fulfill their God-given ministry. This is the vision Paul had for the Colossians and by extension for us today. It's a vision of a church living out the mystery of God, of Christ in fullness, demonstrating his love, his power in a tangible way. As we move forward, let us commit to being a people of prayer, wisdom, and grace. Let us strive to build a community that reflects the unity and the love of Christ. Let us not be worried about showing off our brand, our name, our position, but to promote the name above all names. To promote, not your words, not my words, not your teaching, not my teaching, but the teaching of the powerful living God. May we be inspired by the example of those early believers who supported and encouraged one another, even in the face of trials. Let us take up the call to be devoted in prayer, wise in our actions, and gracious in our speech. And above all, let us remember that we are part of the body of Christ, each playing a vital role in his kingdom. As we go forth, may we live fully in Christ, embracing the mystery of his grace and love, and shining his light in the world. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ fill us so much that we can't contain it and keep it for ourselves. That we will be moved to be comfortable with the uncomfortable. I conclude my time with this closing prayer. I ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts full of gratitude and reverence for the profound truths you have revealed to us through Colossians. And today we have seen Colossians 4. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, guiding us in the way that we should go. Today we have been reminded of the immense privilege and responsibility we carry as your children, called to live a life that honors and reflects your glory. Lord, we ask that you instill in us a deep and abiding commitment to prayer, Help us to be vigilant and thankful, always seeking your presence and wisdom in every situation. May our prayers be fervent and sincere, aligning our hearts to your divine will. Teach us the importance of interceding for others with compassion and faith, trusting that you hear and answer our prayers according to your perfect timing and purpose. Father, grant us the courage to walk in wisdom and integrity, especially towards those who do not yet know you, especially to those that we may not even know. Open doors for us to share the mystery of Christ with boldness and clarity. May our conversations be full of grace, seasoned with the salt of your truth, so that we may respond to each person in a way that draws them closer to your love and salvation. As we strive to make the most of every opportunity, fill us with the Holy Spirit, empowering us to live out our faith in practical and impactful ways. Let us be comfortable leaving our four walls and stepping out to a world that needs you, desperately needs you. Let our lives be a testimony to your transformative power, shining as beacons of hope in a world that desperately needs your light. Help us to embody the love, the humility, the compassion of Christ in all of our interactions. That we may be living testimony that everyone could read. Lord, we thank you for the gift of community and fellowship. Strengthen our bonds with one another as we encourage and support each other in our spiritual journeys. May we always be mindful of the unity we have in you, working together to build your kingdom here on earth. Father, I ask that as we conclude this study, we commit ourselves to living fully in Christ, embracing the fullness of life that he offers. Let our hearts overflow with gratitude and joy, knowing that in him we are complete and equipped for every good work. We pray all these things in the precious and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.